RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian government to encourage Indonesian products market expansion in Middle East. Agri sector should be included in policy package, economist says. Trump meeting was to discuss investment, the House Speaker says. Now the news in detail. The government continued to make effort to encourage the expansion of market for Indonesian products. One of them was sales through supermarket outlets in Middle East countries. The government wants to see Indonesian products from factories. There are onion, papaya, mango, and everything. They have 160 branches in Middle East and Asia. President Joko Widodo, after visiting Lulu Supermarket in Abu Dhabi on Sunday, said. President Joko Widodo also said he had asked the owner of the supermarket to multiply Indonesian products and spread it in different countries. According to him, Indonesia still needs effort to market the products. One of the efforts is increasing the quality of the products. Indonesian president explained supermarket network like Lulu were encouraged the network expansion for Indonesia so that Indonesian products gain wider market. Saudi authorities said on Saturday that Islam's annual Hajj pilgrimage won't be affected by Friday's crane collapse that killed 107 and injured 238 pilgrims at Mecca's Grand Mosque, local news channel Al Arabiya reported. Prince Khalid Al Faisal, the Mecca governor and head of the Central Hajj Committee, has ordered renovations of all damages that were caused by the deadly incident, the report said. It said the crane collapsed when working on the expansion operations at the Grand Mosque, which aims to accommodate the ever-increasing number of pilgrims from all over the world. An investigative committee has immediately and urgently begun searching for the cause of the collapse, the official Saudi press agency said. It said more than 909,000 pilgrims had arrived in Mecca for this year's Hajj, expected to start on September 21st. The Coordinating Investment Board BKBM said on Monday that the United Kingdom investors had conveyed their interest in investing in the electricity sector in Indonesia by developing solar power plants worth $250 million with a total capacity of 200 megawatts. The investors conveyed their interest during one-on-one meetings in a string of investment marketing events it held in the United Kingdom last week, the BKBM said. They are quite serious because those investors visited Indonesia and held meetings with several related ministries and institutions to sound out the possibility of investing in the electricity sector, BKBM Chairman Franky Sibarani said, escorted by Antara in a statement in Jakarta on Monday. BKBM via its branch office in London, had helped the investors meet with the state-owned electricity company PLN, the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, and private Indonesian companies to discuss investment opportunities in solar power plants. They are currently deciding on potential areas for the development of the solar power plants, such as East Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara, North Sulawesi, South Sulawesi, South Kalimantan, West Kalimantan, and West Nusa Tenggara. Economist from Institute for Development of Economics and Finance Bustanul Arifin hope that the next economic policy package would be more detailed and include agricultural sector. According to Bustanul Arifin, although the newly introduced package is quite good, it only focuses on industrial sector. Agricultural sector is also very important for the country's economy, Bustanul said in Jakarta on Sunday. He further said that the economic policy package in the agricultural sector could be in the form of ease of financing, and it will help develop farmers, especially in financing to get seeds, lands, and fertilizers. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Speaker of the House of Representatives, DPR, Setia Novanto, having returned from his U.S. visit, defended his meeting with U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump. Setia said that he received a personal invitation by Trump. Setia at the parliamentary complex on Monday, September 14, 2015, claimed that he and Trump was discussing about business and investment opportunities in Indonesia. Setia said that the discussion was related to domestic economic condition. Furthermore, Setia claimed that he had known Trump for quite some time under business reasons. Setia Novanto also claimed that he had also met with several other business representatives while he was in the U.S., including representatives from Coca-Cola, Philip Morris, Facebook, ConocoPhillips, and Apple. Setia added, "It is the DPR's responsibility to assist the government in performing political and economic diplomacy." Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyono ensured contracts for 5 new reservoir construction projects will be signed by the government by the end of September. During 2015, the target is 13 new reservoirs. "This month, all the contract will be signed," Basuki said when reviewing Wonorejo Reservoir in Tulungagung, East Java on Sunday, September 13. Of 13 reservoirs, 8 reservoirs were already under construction. The signing of the contracts was scheduled to be conducted before the end of September following the deregulation package issued by the government. According to Basuki, the construction of 13 reservoirs were part of the government's plan to build 49 reservoirs or dams nationwide for a period of 5 years. The reservoirs were for the benefit of agricultural irrigation, hydropower, drinking water, and flood prevention. Next year, there will be additional of 8 reservoirs again until it reaches the target of 49 reservoirs for the next 5 years. Basuki ensured the obstacles related to regulatory constraints will be resolved by the government. Jakarta Composite Index, JCI, opened higher on Monday as concerns that the U.S. Federal Reserve would raise interest rates receded. The JCI was up by 17.7 points or 0.21% to 4,378.19, while the index of the 45 most liquid stocks or LQ45 strengthened by 4.5 points or 0.62% to 740.90. The slowing U.S. economic data will be important for the Fed to consider during its meeting to increase its fund rate in September, reducing pressures on the global stock markets, including the JCI. Fulbury Asia Securities Head of Research Alfian Shah said in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara. In September, that U.S. consumer sentiment had dropped to its lowest level in the past year, along with global economic slowdown and financial market fluctuations. Stock market fluctuations have made American people's trust in the country's economic conditions unstable, Alfian Shah said. This situation could also burden the Fed's decision to increase its fund rate. However, Alfian Shah said China's economic slowdown would still be an obstacle to GCI movement. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government to encourage Indonesian products market expansion in Middle East. Agri sector should be included in policy package. Donald Trump meeting with to discuss investment, the DPR speaker says. That was the news.
Listener, here's commentary entitled A New Hope from President Joko Widodo's visit to Saudi Arabia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo currently are visiting three Middle Eastern countries, namely Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. From September 11th to the 13th, the president made a state visit to Saudi Arabia. This visit may not be different from what was done by the previous Indonesian presidents, namely President Abdurrahman Wahid, Megawati Sukarnoputri, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, all has visited Saudi Arabia. They also had brought more or less the same mission, which is to attract Saudi investors to Indonesia. But the result was not too satisfactory, so it is not surprising that at the time, the President Joko Widodo departed from Jakarta to Saudi Arabia on Friday, September 11th, people were not too hopeful. Now, the few who judge Indonesian diplomacy has not been able to attract investors from the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia. Some circles in the country also did not expect much because the bilateral relationship between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia so far has been mediocre or neither bad nor very close. Perhaps, to break the opinion that have been built for a long time, President Joko Widodo's visit to Saudi Arabia this time was filled with meetings with various figures. Starting from the President of the Islamic Development Bank, Dr. Ahmad Mohammed Ali Al-Madani, Secretary General of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, to the King of Saudi Arabia, Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, along with some of his ministers, such as Minister of Cabinet Council members Muhammad Ali Saikh, Minister of Finance, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Labor, and Minister of Economy. According to Indonesian Cabinet Secretary Pramono Agung, the government of Saudi Arabia stated that there has never been such a marathon discussions like this conducted by any government. This shows the seriousness of the governments of Indonesia and Saudi Arabia to further increase the good relations between the two countries. President Joko Widodo in a meeting with Saudi King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud at Salam Palace Diwan Malaki Jeddah discussed the deepening of cooperation in the field of infrastructure and finance. The meeting and discussion material are actually not much different from what had been done by the visiting Indonesian presidents before. However, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Agung said the visit by President Joko Widodo was different. This could be seen from the action of the King of Saudi Arabia, who immediately after the meeting instructed the relevant ministers to discuss cooperation in the fields of infrastructure, trade, and finance in more detail. What has been achieved during the visit of President Joko Widodo still needs to be seen, especially to eliminate the opinions that the two countries cannot establish close and serious cooperative relationships. The government of Indonesia and Saudi Arabia's seriousness in increasing the good relationship between the two countries needs to be demonstrated in concrete cooperation measures. High-level officials of the two countries need to establish more intensive communication to follow up the agreement on cooperation. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, nice to be with you in our regular Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on September 14, 1908, when Balai Pustaka was established. Balai Pustaka is the state-owned publisher of Indonesia and publisher of major pieces of Indonesian literature, such as Salah Asuhan, Siti Nurbaya, and Layar Terkembang. Its head office is in Jakarta. On 14 September 1908, the Dutch colonial government established the Commission for People's Education and Reading, later shortened to the Commission for People's Reading. Along with the foundation of Budi Utomo organization, it served to bring formal education to native Indonesians. Founded in 1917 as the Kantoor voor de Volkslektuur, Balai Pustaka was used by the Dutch colonial government as a means to control native Indonesians' access to information. The next event was in 1969 when OPEC was established. Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, is an international organization headquartered in Vienna, Austria. OPEC was established in Baghdad, Iraq, on September 10 to 14, 1960. OPEC was formed when the international oil market was largely dominated by a group of multinational companies known as the Seven Sisters. The formation of OPEC represented a collective act of sovereignty by oil exporting nations and marking a turning point in state control over natural resources. In the 1960s, OPEC ensured that oil companies could not unilaterally cut prices. In December 2014, OPEC and the oilmen were named in the top 10 most influential people in the shipping industry by Lloyd's. OPEC's mandate is to coordinate and unify the petroleum policies of its members and to ensure the stabilization of oil markets in order to secure an efficient, economic and regular supply of petroleum to consumers, a steady income to producers, and a fair return on capital for those investing in the petroleum industry. In 2014, OPEC comprised 12 members: Algeria, Angola, Ecuador, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Libya, Nigeria, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Venezuela. According to the United States Energy Information Administration, OPEC crude oil production is an important factor affecting global oil prices. OPEC sets production targets for its member nations, and generally, when OPEC production targets are reduced, oil prices increase. Projections of changes in Saudi production result in changes in the price of benchmark crude oils. And the last event was in 2000, when the Jakarta Stock Exchange was bombed. The Jakarta Stock Exchange bombing was a terrorist attack on the Jakarta Stock Exchange on September 14, 2000. A car bomb exploded in the basement of the building, triggering a chain of explosions in which a number of cars caught fire. Most of the dead were drivers waiting by their employers' cars. Many had taken cover in their vehicles, but suffocated as billowing black smoke engulfed the basement levels. Listeners, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's about efforts of the government and people of Indonesia for the independence of Palestine at the United Nations. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesia's consistency in fighting for the rights of the Palestinians has begun to show some results. Through a vote in the General Assembly of the United Nations in New York, United States, the Palestinian flag will be raising throughout the UN representative offices in the world. The UN Secretariat has issued a resolution on raising the flags of non-member states observer at the United Nations on Thursday, September 10th. With the passing of the resolution, the Secretary General of the United Nations will be given 20 days to carry out the mandate of the resolution. As confirmed by the Indonesian Permanent Representative to the United Nations in New York, Ambassador Desra percaya in a statement that Indonesia since the beginning has constantly oversees the draft resolution that could be supported by many UN member states as possible and be passed as resolution. According to Ambassador Desra, the role of Indonesia is a manifestation of the mandate of the 1945 Constitution, which is the principle of Indonesia in the fight for full rights for Palestinians to be free from Israeli occupation and to obtain fair recognition as a nation aligned with other free nations in the world. Meanwhile, in different occasions, spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, while giving a press conference at the Foreign Office in Jakarta recently, said the resolution was approved by 119 countries that ordered the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to fly the Palestinian flag on the lawn of the UN Secretariat New York, despite the refusal of Israel and the United States. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir added that the United Nations resolution is a resolution of a political nature and is expected to strengthen the Palestinian efforts to become a full member of the United Nations.
Memang secara politis resolusi ini merupakan langkah simbolik.
Indeed, politically, this resolution is a symbolic step yet filled with political overtones that equates the rights of non-member observer states. We also hope that this resolution will strengthen the process of Palestinian efforts to become full UN member. Indonesia is one of the 55 countries that co-sponsored this resolution. Through the resolution of raising the flags of non-member observer states at the United Nations, 119 countries declared their support, 45 countries abstained, and 8 countries rejected. With the passing of the resolution, the Secretary General will be given 20 days to implement the mandate of the resolution, which is flying the flag of non-member observer states at the headquarters and other offices of the United Nations, which in this case are the flags of Palestine and the Holy See as the two countries with observer status at the United Nations. The hoisting of Palestinian flags together with other UN member states is a new history expected to lead to the recognition of Palestine as a full member of the United Nations. Indonesia and countries supporting the resolution believes it determines the fate of the Palestinian people justly and become a building block for peaceful settlement of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Hello listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Monday, September 14, 2015 in Jakarta. Kompas newspaper in its headline writes about the last four decades, a number of hotspots in Greece. 48 years ago, on November 2, 1967, this newspaper wrote about Palembang is blanketed by thick fog. Now, in almost half century, the smoke disaster still happened even more widely in a number of regions in Sumatra, Kalimantan, and Java. We seem never learn, even tend to ignore. The burned land in 2015, based on data from the Ministry of Environment site, which is accessible on Sunday, September 13, 2015, recorded in 12 provinces. Head of Information Data Center and Public Relations of Disaster Management National Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, reported on Sunday a number of hotspots in Sumatra reached to 944 spots and in Kalimantan 222 spots. The forest and land fire is predicted will continue to happen. Media Indonesia writes about port train cut logistical costs. The government planned to enliven again railroad from the port and to the industrial area vice versa is enthusiastically welcomed by various parties. The revival of railway directly to the port is started with demolition of concrete of covered rail in Tanjung Priok port taken by officers, which is initiated by Coordinating Minister of Maritime and Resources, Rizal Ramli, on Thursday last week. Pelindo II, as the manager of the Tanjung Priok Port, has also established cooperation with PT Kereta Api Indonesia for the construction of railway line to the port. Director General of Railways Ministry of Transportation, Herman Dwiatmoko, ensured the construction of the railway line to the Koja Container Terminal will be completed in February 2016. Republika writes about the King as the investigation should be held transparently. 7 Indonesian Hajj pilgrims died as a result of the collapse of crane at the Haram Grand Mosque in Saudi Arabia. King Salman bin Abdul Aziz ordered an investigation into the cause of the collapse of the crane at the Grand Mosque. The accident happened on Friday, September 11th afternoon, causing 107 people died and 238 others were injured. King Salman promised to explore all things related to the accident and encourage transparency. Head of the Civil Defense Authority of Saudi Arabia, Lieutenant Sulaiman bin Abdullah Al Amr, said the investigation is in progress. The team will assess the damage and the safety of all passengers in the expansion of the Haram Grand Mosque. We conclude with headline of Business Indonesia newspaper that writes about food stock need to be counted. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency estimated that El Nino phenomenon will last until February 2016, so that the Farmer Association and fishermen reminded the government to calculate carefully the availability of staple food stock at home. The head of BMKG, or Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, Andi Eka Sakya, explained El Nino caused the drought will last longer. Director of Procurement of Bulog, Wahyu, revealed the state-owned entrepreneurs target the absorption of rice from farmers until the end of this month could reach 2.5 million tons. By assuming normal climate or the drought will end this year, Bulog hoped rice stocks at the end of the year is about 1.5 million tons. That was headline of the national newspapers published in Jakarta today. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The government continued to make effort to encourage the expansion of markets for Indonesian products. One of them was sales through supermarket outlets in Middle East countries. The government wants to see Indonesian products from factories. Saudi authorities said on Saturday that Islam's annual Hajj pilgrimage won't be affected by Friday's crane collapse that killed 107 and injured 238 pilgrims at Mecca's Grand Mosque, local news channel Al Arabiya reported. The Coordinating Investment Board BKPM said on Monday that UK investors had conveyed their interest in investing in the electricity sector in Indonesia by developing solar power plants worth $250 million with a total capacity of 200 megawatts. Economists from the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance Bustanul Arifin hope that the next economic policy package would be more detailed and include agricultural sector. According to Bustanul Arifin, although the newly introduced package is quite good, it only focuses on industrial sector. Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Setia Novanto, having returned from his U.S. visit, defended his meeting with U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump. He received a personal invitation by Trump. Satya at the Parliament Complex on Monday, September 14, 2015, claimed that he and Trump was discussing about business and investment opportunities in Indonesia. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyono ensured contracts for 5 new reservoir construction projects will be signed by the government by the end of September. During 2015, the target is 13 new reservoirs. Jakarta Composite Index JCI opened higher on Monday as concerns that the U.S. Federal Reserve Fed would raise interest rates receded. The JCI was up by 17.7 points or 0.21%. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit East Nusa Tenggara province again, so stay tuned. Listener, East Nusa Tenggara province has an interesting traditional hamlet which is worth visiting. It is Mok Hamlet. Mok or M-O-K is an abbreviation of Markas Orang Kepo or the headquarters of Kepo people. This village is also known as a cultural hamlet because it is still preserving traditional customs, dances, and rituals of Kepo tribe's ancestors. Mok Hamlet is located in Bayangan Village, Komba Subdistrict, East Magarai Regency, Flores, East Nusa Tenggara Province. It is located around 3 kilometers up to the north of Borong, the capital city of East Magarai Regency. To visit Mok Hamlet is not difficult because of its good road conditions. At Mok Traditional Hamlet, you will find various interesting traditions and rituals of Kepo tribe. There is a dance called Waidoka dance which is inherited from Kepo tribe's ancestor. Wai means food and doka means walking with bamboo. So, Waidoka means somebody who walks by using bamboo. Waidoka only belongs to the Kepo tribe at Mok Hamlet. This dance is inherited from generation to generation. Since the past in the Great Manggarai Kingdom on Flores Island, this dance was often performed to welcome the honorable guest on important events. Besides Waidoka dance, there is also Umbiro dance, or traditional tug of war which is held in certain traditional ritual by wearing traditional clothes. Besides dances, there is also a traditional house at Mok Hamlet which is also worth visiting. This traditional house is named Mbaru Embo, which can only be accessed in certain ritual and month. Not all people can enter the house, only the descendants of the ancestor of Mbaru Embo can enter into the house. Listener, in line with the traditional requirement, Mariembo is located on the high hills, which is upstream of Mock Hamlet. The stage house has round shape with one point which becomes the peak of the roof. Most of the frame of the house is made from bamboo and has fiber roof. The ancestor's house is always tranquil because it is unoccupied and separated around 50 meters until 200 meters from its residence houses. If they have sharp sensitivity when they are at surrounding area, they will feel the magical aura of the tranquility of Mariembo. Mariembo and Mock Hamlet is actually a duplicate of its traditional main house at its native village, Nanga Puun Rajong, now at South Alar Sub-District or East Manggarai. Rajong is located around 50 km from the north of Mock or around 80 km from Borong. Unfortunately, at Rajong village there is no Mariembo. This traditional house only exists at Mock village. That was Indonesian Wonder. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Makan di Restoran, which in English means eating at a restaurant, station. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Hari Sabtu. Hari Sabtu, which means Saturday. Makan. Makan, which means eat. Bakmi. Bakmi, which means noodle. Minum. Minum, which means drink. Juice. Juice, which means juice. Mangga. Mangga, which means mango. Ice cream. Ice cream, which means ice cream. Jalan jalan. Jalan jalan, which means picnic or traveling. Kopi. Kopi, which means coffee. Ngobrol. Ngobrol, which means talking. Panas. Panas, which means hot. S, which means ice. Teh lemon. Teh lemon, which means lemon tea. Hari ini. Hari ini, which means today. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Makan di Restoran, or in English means eating at the restaurant. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Mary at the office. A. Nita, hari Sabtu kita makan bakmi yuk. Hari Sabtu kita makan bakmi yuk, which means let's eat noodle on Saturday. B. Mary, makan bakmi dan minum jus. Makan bakmi dan minum jus, which means enjoying noodle and ice cream. Saya mau minum jus mangga. Saya mau minum jus mangga, which means I want to taste mango juice. A. Nita, Setelah itu, kita minum es krim. Setelah itu, kita minum es krim. Which means, after that, we taste an ice cream. Kemudian, kita jalan-jalan ke mall. Kemudian, kita jalan-jalan ke mall. Which means, then we go to the mall for sightseeing. Setelah itu, kita minum kopi sambil ngobrol. Setelah itu, kita minum kopi sambil ngobrol. Which means, after that, we drink coffee while chatting. Be merry. Kamu suka kopi panas atau es kopi? Kamu suka kopi panas atau es kopi? Which means, which one do you like? Hot or iced coffee? Saya lebih suka es teh lemon. Saya lebih suka es teh lemon. Which means, I like iced lemon tea. Tapi, hari ini saya mau minum es kopi. Tapi, hari ini saya mau minum es kopi. Which means, but now I want to drink iced coffee. Nita. Baiklah, sampai ketemu Sabtu nanti. Baiklah, sampai ketemu Sabtu nanti. Which means, alright, see you on Saturday. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to learn Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Listener, in today's edition, we'll present you two Indonesian singers, Tuti Mariyati or Tuti Trisedia and Sri Widadi. Both are Indonesian talented keroncong singers. Well, listeners, let's listen to the coming song entitled Kicir Kicir by Tuti Trisedia. Happy listening. Jangan di The song Kicir Kicir comes from the Batavia or Jakarta. The song is very popular, especially among Batavi people and Indonesian people in general. Even the song is usually performed as the opening at the national and international events. Its special rhythm and the lyrics tells about the regional origin of the song. Kicir Kicir is an old song and has been sung by many singers such as Tuti Trisedia in a kroncong genre. Her talent in singing to present kroncong songs has been known among music lovers in Indonesia since she won first prize at the radio and television singing contest in 1987 or 1986 for the kroncong genre. She never learned to sing kroncong. She just learning how to sing the music by hearing Waljina and Sundari Sukoco. Tuti's career in kroncong music has taken her to visit many countries along with entourage of Indonesian arts. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tinggi Gunung Seribu Janji by Tuti Trisedia. Happy listening.
Oh,
Listener, now we turn to another female keroncong singer, namely Sri Widadi. Her name more closely with keroncong, although she also tried her talent in pop music. Her name can also aligned with other popular singers in the 70s era, among others, Toto Salmon, Dedi Damhudi, and Ida Rashid. Keroncong actually becomes breath of life for women who was born in Solo, Central Java. Since her childhood, music keroncong or keroncong music been familiar with her daily life. His father was a melody player of a keroncong group that routinely performed in many celebration events in Solo and its surroundings. Sri Widadi moved to Jakarta after winning the pop singer event in Surabaya and later in East Java provincial level in 1974. Sri Widadi's name increasingly soared up. In mid-70s, her name increasingly known in the Indonesian music world, especially keroncong. Sri Widadi often performed with other famous singers like Toto Salmon, presented melody song compositions. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Solo di Waktu Malam and Ombak Samudra by Sri Widadi. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.